and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and I really don't feel like talking this week, but we have to.
Well, if you think I'm going to do the whole thing, you're wrong. I'm Ann Northrup, and Civil War has broken out already. I think that's the theme today.
We start with the devastating decisions from the radical right Supreme Court that have set the country back 50 years, half a century, with more to come.
I would say it's more like 1,000 years, but I guess we weren't around then. We will debate that. Meanwhile, it's not just here. An anti-gay terror attack in Oslo, Norway, at least was met with community resolve.
But Warsaw Pride, the largest in Central Europe, welcomed 11 Ukrainian LGBTQ groups.
Very nice. Back over here, burning the rainbow flag has become the new burning of crosses.
In Youngstown, Ohio, a drag artist aided by LGBTQ teenagers vanquishes a hate monger.
And from New York, reports on the Dyke March, NYC Pride, the Queer Liberation March, and Harlem Pride.
Don't Say Gay in Florida kicks in this week, and it is even worse than we thought.
I think this may be the worst story of the week. Well, no, let me not establish hierarchies of horror. But a prestigious award from the Library of Congress is going to gay historian George Chauncey.
The trial of Brittany Griner in Russia is getting underway this week.
And we will have updates on the deadly meningitis outbreak among gay and bisexual men in Florida and on monkeypox nationwide. Quite a list.
It is.
Well, it seems like a century, but it is actually since we last saw you that the abortion decision came down at the Supreme Court. And man, people are just losing their minds over it, as well they should, and losing their psychological and physical health. These poor women who are going to abortion clinics and being told on the spot, sorry, we have to turn you away. Just horrifying to see them in such distress.
This is what happens when you have far-right ideologues on the court. It was already a conservative court, and now it's stacked with ideologues. You know, there was no filibuster to stop these Supreme Court nominees. Otherwise, they might have been pushed a little bit more to the center. So Trump got his way and relentlessly put them on there. So it's been a week of carnage. Roe is gone, and past decisions of the Supreme Court about contraception. You've heard this on the mainstream news is covering this about contraception, about same-sex marriage, about the right of people of the same sex to make love and the Lawrence decision. They're all on the chopping block. Clarence Thomas acknowledges they're on the chopping block and he would welcome them. And of course, the other judges are saying, oh, no, this decision doesn't do that. Well, yes, I know this decision doesn't do that. But the basis on which they made their decision, which is to get rid of this idea of substantive due process, which has been cited by the judges for decades, they're just dropping it.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, it's not just the lack of a filibuster that got these judges there. It is the dedication to voting as a block by the Republican senators, never a dissenting vote. The Democrats can't get anything done because they don't vote as a block, more is the pity. So it doesn't matter what the Republican senators think. They all vote as a block. No, that's not the right picture. Thank you, Rich. And so they can put these judges in power. But the basis for Roe v. Wade and for Griswold and for same-sex marriage and for getting rid of the sodomy laws is the idea of personal bodily autonomy, personal choice in what you do with your own body. And that's what this court has wiped out by wiping out Roe v. Wade. They have said, no, women and others who can become pregnant do not have the right to control their bodies and make these decisions themselves. And that's why these other decisions are at risk, because that is what same-sex marriage and getting rid of the sodomy laws and contraception is all about. The right of us as individuals, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the right of us to make those decisions. And without that, we're right back in Handmaid's Tale territory, and we're going to see one after another. We're going to tell you a lot of stories this week about this. We are in the territory where the government, thank you, conservatives, makes decisions for individuals and says, we will control what happens. You no longer have personal autonomy.
I mean, the Roe decision is absolutely grotesque, an assault on, as you say, bodily autonomy. And some states are ready to hunt down those who seek abortions. I mean, you know, it turns anyone seeking one into a criminal. The doctors who do it could be face life in prison in some of these states. I mean, this is the changed landscape. And if the Republicans take back power in 2022 and in 2024, in 2024, they can pass a nationwide ban on abortion. And believe me, they would get rid of the filibuster to do it, because this is about life, something the Democrats aren't willing to do, which is get rid of the filibuster and enshrine abortion rights.
And because they are ruthless and shameless, and they're not holding back on any of this. Also, what was I going to say? The joke about all of this is that the Roe decision says, well, you know, you can't have bodily autonomy. You can't have the right to reproductive freedom, because in the 18th century, that was not legal. Well, guess what? In the 17th century, it was. In the 18th century, it was the 19th century where they stopped it. Before they made abortion illegal, it was legal. It was legal in the colonies. It was legal around the world.
And you know, we're calling on Biden to, and Senator Smith and others, you know, do this on federal land in the states where abortion is banned. Do it at military bases. I didn't realize it was done on military bases before Roe v. Wade. They made women in the military who got pregnant have abortions.
But then when the Hyde Amendment came in, they had a big fight over whether or not they would still do them on military bases. It's gone back and forth on federal land. But yes, sure, why not? That's certainly something the Biden administration could do.
Or reservations, Native American reservations, if possible. But we have to be
horrible to use that word.
We have to be creative about fighting this, but it's still devastating. And again, you're wondering, well, what can I do out there? Well, you certainly better pay attention to the midterms, because if we don't hold on to the Senate, which is going to be a heavy lift and difficult, but if we don't hold on to it, no more Biden judges of any kind are going to be confirmed.
Now, Andy, I will give you a guess. Who do you think, as a television anchor, is the most dedicated to talking about Lawrence v. Texas and sexual privacy at home in the context of this decision every single time this subject comes up?
Anderson Cooper. He engages in sodomy.
Joe Scarborough.
Oh.
Over and over and over again, the right of people to privacy and their sexual behavior at home. He is the only one who has noticed that this is at risk.
Well, of course,
you know, it is at risk.
And of course, everybody running for office has to be put on the spot, asked questions like, so your 13-year-old daughter gets raped, she should carry the child to term. That's your position? You know, you've got to be firm about that. And also,
most of them would say yes.
They didn't used to. That's the kind of position that used to be seen as so extreme just a few years ago that it would help Democrats overcome Republicans in states like Missouri.
Well, you remember Michael Dukakis, when asked if his wife was raped, how he'd react. He didn't have a good answer. But the point is that this is horrendous on the subject of reproductive rights and privacy. But this is really, truly coming after everybody and coming after people in same-sex relationships very directly. The court will stop at nothing to decide that same-sex marriage should be a states' rights question. And
I think
I
think the five justices who were part of the majority in this were holding back on saying, oh, this doesn't affect all those other things. Well, they're just doing that for the midterms, because they want to win the midterms so that no more Biden judges can be confirmed.
Well, think about it. They have destroyed the concept of private decision making. So when someone brings a case to the court, whether they claim they're interested in this or not, and they have to choose whether or not to keep same-sex marriage legal nationally or turn it back to the states as a state-by-state decision, there is just absolutely no question that they are going to opt for the state-by-state decision. Well, and wait till you then have to live with the idea that your marriage may be legal in New York, but illegal in a neighboring state. And what are you going to do as you travel the country from state to state, worrying about whether your marriage is legal in whatever state you happen to set foot in?
Rich, if we could skip ahead to the image of that map, which shows you where, yeah, there it is. And all those red areas, same-sex marriage would be illegal again, because many of them have constitutional amendments against it that were not repealed after the Obergefell decision. And then even in California, they have Prop 8 in their constitution. You can't get married. It was overturned by the court, and states like Oregon, which ought to know better. And Virginia. So these are other states where people aren't going to marry. Only in those nice, pale areas, those, you know, are the ones where same-sex marriage is affirmed by law. Nevada was one of the states that did legislatively get rid of, and through their constitution, got rid of that ban. But it's not happening in a lot of other states.
Because when the Supreme Court renders a decision that overrules those kinds of state constitutional amendments or laws, the states tend to just move on and forget it and not correct their laws.
That's what happened with Roe.
Exactly.
Roe v. Wade, 1973, almost no states moved to get rid of their anti-abortion laws.
And there are still a quarter of the states, I believe, 13 states that still have sodomy laws on the books. And so if Lawrence v. Texas is overruled, which got rid of sodomy laws,
it's about 15, apparently. I thought it was just 13 at the time that they ruled, but it's 15.
So those immediately go back into effect. And you now are a criminal for having sex with a same-sex partner.
Right.
Watch out.
Put up that sign that says we won't go back, because, you know, at one of the demonstrations, one of the many demonstrations to protest this, I was at one. That is the spirit here. And of course, in New York, we're not going back. We strengthened our abortion rights law in 2019. Once we did the hard work of getting rid of conservative Republicans and conservative Democrats. By the way, in New York, we legalized same-sex marriage with a totally Republican legislature, but that was 50-something years ago.
So people are talking about various schemes to expand the court. I heard this thing about guaranteeing each president two appointments, term limits, all sorts of things, but none of that is going to happen soon, if ever.
We need a new country. By the way, last week we told you about Maine having to fund religious schools. They've already overcome that, and some of these things can be overcome. Maine said, we have a civil rights law, so we will say, now, it doesn't bind religious groups, but We can say in the funding of private schools, all private schools, they must abide and not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. And that's what they're doing. They are not going to give the money to those two schools. So it's a Pyrrhic victory for the religious schools. And then, of course, another religious decision this week by the court, tearing down the wall between church and state. Show that picture of the prayer at the 50-yard line by the football coach. You know, they said, oh, no, this is private prayer. This is a public display. This guy was, you know, they ended his contract because he wouldn't back up on these public prayers at football games. But the Supreme Court says, that's fine.
Yeah, and Gorsuch wrote that decision and lied about the facts of the case and said that it was quiet private prayer when, in fact, as you see, it is a huge huddle of players from both teams joining the coach at midfield to engage in prayer. I also was reading something just today about, I think it maybe it was in a letter to the New York Times about athletes in South Carolina who have been kicked off teams and refused playing time if they don't go along with the coach's demand for prayer by the
athletes. That's the problem, and the Supreme Court doesn't care.
Well, they refuse to acknowledge that that's a real issue.
Well, most of the comments in the you know on these decisions that you read say, let them try bringing out a Muslim prayer mat and see what happens. Now, they also made a decision about guns in New York. We can't have our restrictive concealed carry law anymore. And other states, no, states are responding to this by trying to create sensitive areas, like the Supreme Court, where you're not allowed to bring in a concealed gun, like the NRA convention when former President Trump was speaking. These are sensitive areas, and we can create large swaths of sensitive areas to try to deal with this decision. But the gun ruling does make it harder, you know, for public safety at this point.
Well, you look at the hearing yesterday, as we're taping on Wednesday, with Cassidy Hutchinson testifying, and the video they showed of the Proud Boy types in trees at the Trump rally on January 6th with guns, and the cops, you know, audio recordings of them. There's a guy there with a gun. There's a guy there with an AK-47. There's a guy there with a gun on his hip. The problem that comes up, even if you believe in this stuff, is how are people supposed to distinguish who is a threat and who isn't? And heaven forbid they start shooting in some context of maybe thinking they're going after the bad guys, but the cops think they're the bad guys because they're shooting. It's just a homicidal chaos. This is a horrible.
It's hard to believe that many will still defend Trump after those blistering hearings on January 6th. But of course, many are sticking by him, documenting, even though it documented his sedition and the sedition of his gang. And the Heritage Foundation has already set up a 2025 presidential transition project peopled by almost nothing but Christian fascist groups. Alliance Defending Freedom, the Claremont Institute, that's John Eastman, the lawyers group, Concerned Women for America, Family Research Council, First Liberty Institute, Pro-Life America, and more. And they will undo every decent executive order you ever got out of Joe Biden.
Well, I'm happy to shine one bright light in the primaries this week. The horrible right-wing election result denier who was running for Secretary of State in Colorado got defeated in the primary, Peters. So she at least is on the shelf for the moment. But I'm sure there will be many secretaries of state elected around the country who are Trumpists and who want to overthrow the election system.
Which, you know, James Essex, our pal at the ACLU, says, look, we're still going to try to fight at the lower courts. But we all need to step up our political engagement. But, you know, we are in a rotten system in this country. And short of really overhauling our system, I don't think we can make a tremendous amount of progress, certainly on the kind that we were seeking. But there was one good Supreme Court decision this week, Coral Gables Ministry. They sought to sue the Southern Poverty Law Center for libel for saying that they're a hate group, and this was depriving them of the Amazon Smile stuff, you know, being on the funding stream. And everybody but Clarence Thomas said, no, you can't. Yeah. And Thomas tried to say, they're not a hate group. They object to homosexual conduct. No, they have people in their organization who want us put to death.
Well, I have, unfortunately, a countervailing note, which is that Facebook and Instagram are now censoring abortion information on their sites. They are removing posts that give people information about buying abortion pills and where to get abortions. Facebook, Instagram.
We will find another way. You know, before abortion was legal in New York, we had an underground system run out of the judgment.
Yes, hangers and illegal doctors.
Awful things are happening already. But people are working really hard to get out information as much as possible. And if Facebook's not going to help, we'll find another way.
Right. All right. All right. Are we moving to pride things just to cleanse our minds for the moment?
Well, it's not going to cleanse your mind to start in Oslo, and I think we should because it was a total outrage. Before that march, they didn't have their pride march because they had a massacre there. A terrorist opened fire on a gay club and two others on the eve of pride, killing two, injuring 19, 10 seriously. So in its wake, Pride was canceled, and they had this protest march. They went to the site there, not for celebration, but to mourn. The suspect is a 42-year-old Norwegian citizen, originally from Iran. He came as a kid with a record of minor crimes, charged with murder, attempted murder, terrorism. He used an old model fully automatic weapon because the new ones have been banned. Norway is very sensitive to this. They had a 2011 attack that killed 77 people. The mayor of Oslo called it gruesome. The prime minister called it deeply shocking. And there you see the crown prince and princess of Norway there with the prime minister on the far right there. The head of the parliament is of Iranian descent in Norway. And he said the week before he flew the rainbow flag over the parliament saying we celebrate queer diversity here. And he called the attack sad and unacceptable.
Well, and I'm so proud of the people, the LGBTQ community of Oslo, for insisting on going out in the street anyway for that huge march that you saw. If you can show that picture again, that would be great.
Yes. And again, it wasn't a celebration. It was a protest.
They did not abide by the cancellation of the parade. They said, we are not staying home. We are going out in the street. And they did.
President Biden issued a statement of condolence and solidarity.
Yeah. So then we moved to Turkey, where there, you know, until a few years ago, they had a successful, joyous pride celebration in Istanbul every year. But ever since Erdogan took power, he has been forbidding the parade, cracking down, and sending the cops out after people. And this is a picture from this year. We've shown you these pictures for the last few years.
The police violently arresting 370 people. You know, and Turkey is in NATO and, you know, is supposed to abide by.
Or is it not quite in NATO yet?
I think it is. They were the ones who were trying to stop, Finland and Sweden, but they let up on that. Okay. So it's just awful. And it's the same thing as here. It is an appeal to the religious right, which is a solid bloc over there.
And again, the people keep trying to go out in the streets. They're not letting themselves be intimidated by it, but they are getting violently attacked by the authorities.
Better news in Warsaw, where they had Pride. Again, it's the largest one in Central Europe. They incorporated Ukrainian LGBTQ people with 300 members of Kyiv Pride. In all, 11 Ukrainian LGBT groups participated in this year's Warsaw Pride.
But back to the United States, where, you know, many cities and towns and states are flying pride flags. And we have been telling you stories about flags being torn down and ripped apart. And they took it a step further in Lansing, Michigan, where a guy was caught on videotape dousing a pride flag with gasoline and then setting it afire.
Five flags had been stolen over the course of the week. They're all over Michigan Avenue. So this was on June 28th. It really is reminiscent of the cross burnings of the KKK years ago, all to inspire terror, obviously disapproval. People of the same mindset. Police are searching for the perpetrator. Another flag has been put up in Lansing.
All right.
And in Ohio, at Youngstown Pride, they included a kid's show at a theater, and a drag queen, Robert Denick Jokey, was on stage when a man took the stage, calling him a pervert, and said, accused him of grooming and indoctrinating children. This is the new watchword. Robert countered with his own message. He started singing Over the Rainbow, which made the disruptor crazier, but other performers joined Robert on stage singing, and then the audience drowned out the disruptor, and a crowd of, quote, queer and non-binary teenagers made the disruptor run away.
Well, unfortunately, that crowd was not in Wilmington, North Carolina, where 15 Proud Boys invaded a library drag queen story hour, with taunts and threats and high fives from the cops who were present. Of the Proud Boys.
In Knoxville, Tennessee, a 31-year-old punk spray-painted the pride section of a Target store, mainly going over the merchandise with paint, causing $4,000 worth of damage to a clothing line and some to the signage. It's a Class D felony, vandalism, subject to 2 to 12 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. The alleged perp was a kid named Jonathan Burns. Well, kid, 31.
All right. Let's go to the more peaceful celebrations in New York this last weekend and elsewhere.
Well, you and I participated in the Queer Liberation March that started downtown, and it was great fun. A nice spirited march from downtown New York up to Washington Square.
We thought the march would be smaller this year, because we hadn't done as much organizing as previous years. This was the fourth year, and we figured, regular Pride was back in the street, and maybe we won't get quite such a crowd. But there were, as in the previous 3 years, tens of thousands of people who showed up spontaneously. Obviously, the Queer Liberation March has become a thing, and people will show up because we created an event that is a grassroots, public, free-for-all that is what people really want. No barricades, no cops, no corporations, no floats, just people in the street. And in this week of Roe v. Wade and all the other threats, people showed up to protest, and it was a huge success.
Listen, we were protesting all week, not just the abortion decision, the gun decision, gays against guns was out there. But Heritage of Pride tried to get a little bit in the spirit of what's going on in the world, and they put Planned Parenthood in the front of their a rare political statement. On the other hand, some of the politicians...
Well, they've got new administration there at Heritage of Pride, and while I still want them to get rid of all the corporations and everything, they have told the cops they're not welcome in uniform. They put Planned Parenthood at the head of the parade. They're making more political statements. I have a little hope for
Pride. The cops in uniform, yeah, are still banned, but the Gay Officers Action League protested this parade on the sidelines, shouting, "Let us march!"
March, you just can't bring your guns and your uniform.
Brian Downey thinks they're working on their differences. I don't know. Mayor, but on the other hand, I really hate what the politicians did in that parade this year, because they weren't going to be in the front. So they just stepped off earlier, before the thing kicked off, Schumer and Adams and all these people.
Okay.
They bigfooted it.
Well, fine, but they were not in the main parade, so they lost that of visibility. Also, right. The Dyke March took place on Saturday evening, as it always does, and that was bigger than ever.
The 30th Dyke March.
Because of all the political Supreme Court happenings, the Dyke March had even more energy, and that was a terrific thing.
And everybody, those look like Lori Arbeiter signs.
They are. You remember
people have
when
power. This is personal. Patriarchy insufferable is insufferable. Fighting
several
for
years ago, several years ago, when we were protesting Trump, he said, "And look at those signs. They look like they were made in somebody's basement." Little did he know that, in fact, they were made in Lori Arbeiter's basement, and they've been with us ever since, and they are extremely gorgeous and effective. Also, Harlem Pride took place this weekend, and that turned out to be more of a street festival than a big march. And there is City Council member Kristen Richardson-Jordan, an out lesbian council member who showed out in her pride outfit for Harlem Pride. A lot of entertainment there on stages, and also a big successful event. And in Boston, they had canceled the main pride parade because they're having a big fight over the corporate nature of the parade. And so the people who were running that sort of abdicated, and there's been a vacuum. And so a group came along and produced Pop-Up Pride. And that was a big hit and very free and more like the Queer Liberation March. But in New York and San Francisco, there were also a few moments of terror. There were some loud noises that went off in Washington Square Park here and in San Francisco. And so there was a mini stampede in each area for a moment as people worried after the gun decision that they might be at risk. But it was all fine and everybody calmed down.
And politicians like to do stuff for us around Pride. So Governor Hochul, who just won her Democratic primary for governor, and should be running against a totally anti-gay Lee Zeldin, who is, totally pro-Trump as well. Anyway, Governor Hochul signed a bill letting non-binary people run for party offices. Before, you had to designate whether you were a male or a female, because they elect a male district leader and a female district leader. So now non-binary people can run. The new rule is the two district leaders have to be of, not of opposite genders, but of different genders. And she also signed the Lorena Borjas Trans Wellness and Equity Fund, $1 million, to step up services.
All right, so let's go through some political stuff. And the worst is in Florida, where this week on July 1st, the Don't Say Gay law goes into effect. And it is kicking off with horror shows already. Orlando, in Orange County, the schools have been told to wipe out, and literally wipe out, erase, scrape off any rainbow stickers, signs, pictures of families that have same-sex couples, any mention, really, literally, any mention of LGBTQ in the schools.
And they are being directed to report a student if a student comes out as LGBTQ. This is unbelievable. Teachers are told they can't wear rainbows on their clothing, also told to use pronouns assigned at birth, unless, I suppose, you have a religious reason and you are actually a decent person who would respect their pronouns.
No, then you'll get prosecuted.
No, and invoke your religion. And say, my religion dictates that I must respect people's pronouns. Because you have these religious teachers saying, I don't respect it, and they're being allowed not to respect it around the country.
The point is, it's only going to cause more chaos and horror.
It's a witch hunt.
Terrible. I mean, they literally, literally want to erase us.
Orlando, 6 years after the Pulse massacre of hate. How unbelievable that they would do this.
And in at Disney, World. Also, there's a horrifying story in the Washington Post today about GSAs, formerly known as Gay Straight Alliances. What is it? Gender, sexuality, something, whatever. It's the new term for GSA. They're all under attack around the country. And the right wing crazies are coming out of the woodwork to attack the existence of every GSA, define them as pedophilia organizations, threaten to take their kids out of school, threaten to prosecute the schools, and the schools are going along with this.
Well, I was encouraged to read that Cascade Elementary School in Marysville, Minnesota, got its first LGBTQ student club at the elementary level, and the school board piloted it, called it the Safe Space Club. Some parents freaked, some outsiders freaked. Then the board said, okay, we're going to have a parental consent policy, and then they pulled back on that after a protest, but it's still possible that they will go that route. At Yeshiva University, we told you that it was denied its quest not to recognize an LGBTQ student group, a court decision they're appealing. Now they're being sued for whitewashing a female student's sexual assault by a varsity basketball player.
Religion. Well, also
religion. Oh, the university in 20 years has reported zero rape and groping complaints to our school. In all this time, everything is fine.
Well, at Liberty University in Virginia, the Jerry Falwell school, we have just figured out that they snuck new language into their Liberty Way code of rules and ethics. And what they snuck in was that no LGBT statements or behavior are allowed on campus. No hand-holding, no kissing, no preferred pronouns, no bathroom availability for trans people. They they were always against premarital sex, which they then defined as all same-sex encounters, whether you were married or not. And now they've expanded it, but they did it sneakily under the cover of night, and now it's all becoming apparent.
Now, a footnote to the Ghislaine Maxwell case, the accomplice of Jerry Epstein, a real groomer of girls for sexual
assault. Jeffrey Epstein.
Huh?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Jerry, I think.
Oh, Jeffrey. Okay. Anyway, she was sentenced to 20 years in prison. The judge was out lesbian Allison Nathan, who completed the trial in December, but has since been confirmed by the Senate and sworn into a seat on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. The sentence was less than the federal prosecutors asked for.
Let's go through a lot of political cases, stories, because we don't have forever.
Go ahead.
The Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, has proposed a new rule overruling Betsy DeVos's rules from the Trump administration. They will expand non-discrimination rules for sexual orientation and gender identity under Title IX and Bostock. Bostock, of course, may also be on the chopping block at the Supreme Court. They're going to do a separate order for sports participation, but they're continuing their efforts to overturn the terrors of the Trump administration. In Flagstaff, Arizona, the mayor there is defending Drag Queen Story Hour. And says it's good for kids to see diversity.
And showed a picture of the founding fathers in their wigs. We're jumping ahead with the pictures there. Look, they wear wigs. They wear high heels. They wear rouge on their cheeks. This is the way they dressed in those days. And so
that should make them very popular with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court should be mandating Drag Queen Story.
Absolutely. And the Republican candidate for governor in Arizona, Carrie Lake, is now trying to deny she entertained drag queens despite photographic evidence.
Please.
She's pursuing legal action against her drag queen ex-friend, Barbara Seville, Richard Stevens. Seville's lawyer says, bring it on, calling Lake a bully.
Well, it's like Trump denying he called Pence a wimp or a P word when everybody was there watching him do it. They just lie outright, no matter what documentary evidence there is of what they've done. Well, it's crazy.
Speaking of politicians in trouble, poor Andrew Gillum, almost elected governor of Florida 4 years ago, lost by 30,000 votes in a state of 21 million. He was involved in a sex and drug scandal in 2020, came out as bisexual now, under federal indictment for conspiracy, wire fraud, and making false statements, for turning political donations into personal income with an accomplice, pleaded not guilty. Trial is August 16th, 21 charges.
Back in D.C., the U.S. House passed the LGBTQI+ Data Inclusion Act, which mandates voluntary collection of data by federal agencies on our populations, because it's very hard to know what to do for us if they don't know who exists and how.
And yeah, how's that going to get through the Senate?
Well, exactly. Tommy Tuberville in the Senate tried to get unanimous consent for a Mike Lee bill that was a national ban on trans athletes, but Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii immediately blocked it. So that at least is one good news piece.
She's a strong ally.
Fantastic. It turns out, you know, in these January 6th committee hearings that you've heard mention of Ken Klukowski, this is all, you know, it was a week ago, so we've forgotten about it. He was the plant by John Eastman at the Department of Justice, the whole discussion of the Department of Justice being set up to deny the election. Well, he turns out to be an ex-Family Research Council senior counsel. The Trump administration was just grabbing these people off of these right-wing so-called religious groups and putting them in the administration, the Department of Justice, everywhere. And
should we talk about some of the people we lost this week?
I just want to run through a few other little political stories. The governor of South Carolina signed a bill to allow doctors, nurses, hospitals, pharmacists to deny care, deny services on the basis of their personal beliefs. Thank you, Governor of South Carolina. And in North Carolina, a federal court ruled that transgender people can correct their gender markers without proving surgery. That is over the dead body of the right wing in North Carolina, I'm sure. In New York State, we told you that, or maybe this happened after last week's show, the Smithtown Long Island Library ordered removal of pride displays, but then at the behest of a right-wing activist on their board, the town rose up in extreme high dudgeon, and they rescinded the order.
The governor criticized them over it.
Yes, and the local LGBT group there, the LGBT Network, has put together a big town hall. 400 people signed up immediately for political training and organizing to get active around issues on Long Island.
And they're going to monitor these things.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, let's move on.
Well, we do monitor these horrible murders of especially black trans women.
Yeah.
We had Shawmale Giselle Marie McClam, 27 years old, shot to death in Mississippi, Gulfport, June 21st, the 18th such murder. Her sister was also critically injured in this attack inside a residence where her brother, mother, and two other kids were there. They weren't injured. The suspect has been arrested, a 20-year-old. It's just devastating.
Chaminet was a certified nursing assistant and a huge loss to her family.
And an advocate for the trans community.
Yeah.
And in Milwaukee, trans woman Brazil Johnson was murdered, 28. No arrests, no motive known. As a teen, Johnson was a community health promoter for Diverse and Resilient, serving the LGBTQ community. She was a graduate of Milwaukee Area Technical College. Gone at 28.
And a chef, a very accomplished chef. We also lost James Ratto at age 90, the co-creator of the play Hair. He created it with his then lover, Jerome Ragney. Ratto identified as omnisexual and very lauded.
Shall we talk about George Chauncey?
Sure.
Very famous gay historian.
Not dead.
Not dead. 67 years old, professor at Columbia University, author of Gay New York, expert witness at same-sex marriage trials across the country. He was awarded the $500,000 Kluge Prize from the Library of Congress, given to those whose scholarship has resonated both inside and outside academia. And he's now collaborating with the Library of Congress, historians and curators on an AIDS Memorial Quilt Archive collection. Chauncey is director of Columbia University's Research Institute on the Global History of Sexualities. He says in his teaching he has had to convey both the almost unimaginable degree of repression that people face, as well as their extraordinary resilience. Why could we use resilience now?
Well, a couple of other small things before we get to international news. In Wilton Manors, Florida, a drunk guy with a gun was arrested outside a gay bar. Luckily, he was noticed before he could start shooting, and 911 was called, and the cops came and dragged him away. And good news from, this is crazy, Tennessee, East Nashville, out lesbian Kelly Easter has been applying to foster refugee children. And the program she's been applying to is run by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and is federally funded. Now, she was originally rejected by the program because they're religious and they don't like lesbians. But then they reached a compromise. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops said, well, you're single, so we'll make an exception for you. You can foster refugee children.
No touching.
Now, there is a married same-sex couple that has also applied to this program and has not been approved, and they are still suing because this is a federally funded program and shouldn't be allowed to discriminate. But Kelly has slipped under the wire.
Mm. International. Yeah. Well, Brittany Griner's quote-unquote trial is set to begin Friday in Russia. It's expected to take 2 months. Charge of narcotics possession when traces of hashish were found in her vaping instrument, allegedly.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah. She was there playing pro basketball. That's why she was in Russia. That's where she made most of her money. But now she's a political pawn. She faces 10 years in prison. 1% of those charged in Russian courts are acquitted. The U.S. has said she is being wrongfully detained.
Now, her detention has been extended for 6 months. The word is that she has to be convicted before she can apply for a prisoner swap. So this is all going through a process, and the hope is that once she reaches whatever point the Russians want her to reach, she can then be eligible for an exchange. I hadn't realized how tall she is. She is 6'9", and she dwarfs all the Russian police who are leading her around.
Well, when you watch the basketball games, everybody's pretty tall, most of them.
6'9" women is rare, and she's large.
A nice story from Australia. The Victorian Pride Center in Victoria for LGBT communities, which opened in St. Kilda last year, won the top prize for public architecture at the 2022 Victorian Architecture Awards. It was labeled an iconic true place of welcome.
I think it's gorgeous. St. Kilda is part of Melbourne or near Melbourne. It's on the beach there.
I will link to the story on this because then you can see all the beautiful pictures inside as well.
It's really beautiful. And good news from the UK, where Olympic track champion Kelly Holmes, who won gold medals in Athens in 2004 in the 800 and 1500 meters, at 52 has come out. She says she's excited. She's known since she was 17, and she has finally felt free enough to come out. So good for you, Kelly. Welcome to the family.
Okay. AIDS news?
Yes.
Well, we're kind of almost burying the headline. This is an alert. A meningitis outbreak in Florida, mostly among gay and bisexual men. 24 cases and 7 deaths, half of them Latino. The CDC is urging men who have sex with men to get a meningococcal vaccine, and gay and bi men traveling to Florida also should get that vaccine. The symptoms include sudden high fever, headache, stiff neck, nausea, vomiting, or a dark purple or purple rash. The bacteria is spread through respiratory or throat secretions, usually lengthy contact like kissing or being close to someone who's coughing. Vaccines are available. Go to the doctor, clinic, local health department. There's also a cluster of these among college students who they didn't indicate what their sexuality was.
And people are now clamoring for the monkeypox vaccine. There are two versions. There is an old smallpox version, which is not good for people with HIV.
And that's the men lining up at the Chelsea Clinic as the moment it was announced, and many of them were turned away. They're eager to get the vaccine.
They're trying to give it first to men who have multiple sex partners over the last short period of time. You want the newer vaccine, particularly if you have HIV, but that's what's in limited supply. So the CDC is trying to parcel out more of it. Cases are rising in the UK and across Europe. It's curable, it's preventable with the vaccine, but look for rashes and lesions. Those are the warning signs of monkeypox. Look it up online to see how to recognize it.
There have been 3,300 cases in the United States, 39 in New York, mainly among MSMs.
And of course, those are the ones that are reported. Who knows how many more?
Okay. All right. Broadway Cares held its 30th annual Broadway Bears Benefit. This is a relatively PG-rated picture we can show you. I'm going to link to the video on this, which is 3.5 minutes, in our email, because that's not quite safe for work. The theme was community, unity, and nudity. Among the special appearances were Ariana DeBose, Ramin Karaloo from Funny Girl, and Julie White. Hosted by Malik Mancholi, Michael R. Jackson, creator of A Strange Loop, also appeared. It's a fun show. I don't go anymore. You have to basically stand through the whole thing.
It's in a packed house.
Yes, absolutely.
I saw the trailer. I looked at that. There was a little nudity, full nudity, but not much.
No, there's no frontal nudity. Well, no frontal nudity, no.
Well, I saw guys nude from the back. I assume that means they were nude in the front, too.
They're wearing thongs.
Oh, okay. Well, they're probably wearing socks, but they're...
Well, it's a strip show.
Yes, exactly.
You know, for men, and there are men and women, you know, involved in the stripping. And it's been, again, going on for 30 years. It's just it's a tremendous amount of fun.
And did you say they raised
almost $9 million.
No, almost $2 million. Well, 1.8 is not almost 9, it's almost 2.
I meant 1.9. It's almost 1.9. That's what I meant. You want the figure? Right. $1,893,715.
Thank you. In other entertainment news, I am loving the story of Dave Chappelle going back to his high school this week. So you may remember he did a special for Netflix called Closer. I'm not sure which way he pronounced it, but it was full of transphobic jokes. and other misogyny, and you know, he knows everything, and no one could tell him what to say. So that produced an uproar. So then he went to his high school, Duke Ellington High School in Florida, and he wanted to give them a donation for their arts program. And there was a great uproar about whether the school should accept that. And now he has gone back for the actual ceremony. And he said, I'm not going to require that this be named after me, because clearly this is too upsetting to people. But I have to tell you, I want to get this right, I am sincerely hurt by the objections to my special. You're sincerely hurt. You have the gall to say that you are hurt by the objections to your special without a moment's consideration
Snowflake.
Of what you have done to people with your bigotry and condescension and arrogance. None of that can be discussed. You are sincerely hurt.
Look how upset Trump gets when he's criticized.
Ah, and then he lies about it.
He's a big baby.
Yeah. All right. It turns out that the Disney movie Lightyear, which has been banned in Muslim countries and China and other places because of the lesbian kiss.
Yes.
Well, the lesbian kiss is a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, my God. And, you know, a lot of these countries, people of the same sex hold hands all the time, and it's completely accepted.
Afghanistan. Right? It's everywhere. And a movie theater in Oklahoma had promised to fast forward through the scenes of the lesbian kiss until parents objected and said, don't be ridiculous. Show us the movie.
I know some parts of this country and some parts of the world are trying to make this the end of the rainbow, but we will persevere and keep going on.
Well, we're going to keep going on for a minute and a half. So what have you got to talk about? You got any entertainment news?
I don't have any other entertainment news.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting ready for a trip to London. I may find something over there that's gay.
Well, I do. You know, we talk about how we're concerned that there is a civil war coming to this country as we look at these Supreme Court decisions and these laws being passed. It really feels to me like we are already in civil war. All you have to do is read that Washington Post story about the GSAs, and you will get a really visceral sense of
and what we are the chosen targets, and we're chosen so that they can exploit fears and hope they can win elections on our backs.
And raise money.
And that hurts. I mean, I know how much that hurts people. It hurts me. It hurts you. But, I mean, if you live in the more isolated areas of the country and they've chosen this as their issue, it's just, you know, awful.
It's not all that isolated when they're telling teachers in Orlando to scrape the rainbow stickers off their classroom doors. It's not all that rural or isolated. So I am worried about that. But we're going away. We're done. Bye.